Okay, so Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read the same section. We'll be doing this for a few weeks, but we're going to read from verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if we were, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's just pray as we come to God's word. Father, we thank you that this is your living word, this sword of the Spirit. We find it effective in helping us to fight against the devil and his schemes. And we need to know what it means and know how to apply it to our lives. So please help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the sermon title this morning sounds like the name of a boat. I wonder what you would call a boat if you had a boat. I was thinking like of a fast sailing dinghy. My name is this, Grace and Glory. There we are, grace and glory. And it's from the verse, chapter 5 and verse 2. That's what we're focusing on, grace and glory. I can just see it on my boat now, grace and glory. Last week we looked at verse 1, which tells us of the greatest treasure. What do we say it was? Remember anyone? Pardon? Peace with God, the greatest treasure, peace with God. It's always a bit disconcerting when you ask someone what happened last week and there's a bit of a silence. But yeah, peace with God. And we talked about the peace with God, and it makes it clear in verse 1 that it comes to us through faith in the Lord Jesus. Peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus. And verse 2 tells us of two more things that we receive through faith and that we can rejoice in this morning. Or perhaps, if you look at the original word where it says about rejoicing, you could even say it's boasting. And this isn't boasting in ourselves, of course, which would be a bad thing. This is boasting in what God has done. So this is what we can rejoice in. The present grace in which we stand. That's something to stand in now. And secondly, the hope of the glory of God that one day we will see, and we will share in. And that's something to set your hope in for the future. So there's something to stand in now, that's grace, and something to set your hope in for the future, which is glory. And so grace and glory is not just a cool name for a boat, it's the present and future reality for every Christian. And so let's start by considering grace. Standing in grace, verse 2 talks about. The good news, of course, is that we are saved by grace through faith. And that even the faith that we have is a gift from God. That's what it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It's believing God that God credits to us as righteousness. You remember, we're not earning salvation. It's believing in him That means that we are credited with righteousness, that we are cleansed, that we're made right with God, that we're forgiven of our sins and we're made right with Him. It's trusting God, in other words, trusting His word that gives us, that shows God the faith that we have. And this faith grants us peace, first of all. That's what we looked at in verse 1. And here it says in verse 2 that this faith grants us access. It's access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So in other words, faith is like a key to the door. And as we open the door with this key, so this faith opens the door and we find ourselves in a place of grace, standing in grace. So it's not just that grace we receive as we become a Christian, but we are now in a place of grace. If you're trusting in God and trusting His word, you are in a place of grace. And I've called it a place of blessing, firstly. So under, there's just two main headings, but under the first one, there's two subheadings. So standing in grace, and first of all, a place of blessing. So grace, I looked it up, given a good definition, Marie. It's a gift. It's a favour. It's kindness. It's being given undeserved blessings. And it's a reminder, again, that this isn't just about forgiveness on the day when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus for the first time, but that day by day you receive gifts from Him. Day by day you are the recipient of His gracious love. You receive undeserved blessings every day. You feel His favour. You feel His kindness. And so rather than just a one-off thing, let's consider it a place of blessing where we might be continually showered with God's goodness. And so I was thinking, when do we feel that? Well, if you're the sort of warm inside type, you might want to think of a shower. Standing under, it's a lovely feeling, isn't it? A lovely warm, most people like it, I guess, anyway. Lovely warm shower. Just constantly being blessed in this picture by God's grace towards us. Or if you're an outdoorsy type and you like this sort of idea, most of us will probably shudder, but standing under a waterfall, out in the fresh air, enjoying the invigoration of a waterfall, constantly pouring over the top, all over you. This is the picture of standing in grace, or standing in a place of blessing. It's being continually, but it's to feel the constant flow and washing of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's to feel the constant presence and the constant provision and the constant guidance of God. It's to know that we are Christ's and He is ours. It's to know free and full forgiveness through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. It's to be given wisdom that we might know how to live for God today. It's to be credited with righteousness of Christ every day, to know that free and full and completeness in our lives. It's to know that Jesus is interceding for you in heaven. He's praying for you. He's speaking to the Father on your behalf. He's standing in the breach. Your pathetic offerings to Him are being accepted because Jesus is standing between you and the living God. It's to be given power that we need to break sinful habits and to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. What a glorious long hot shower this really is. Or cold freezing shower, if you prefer the waterfall picture. God's kindness is falling on you continually. It's undeserved. It's the riches of heaven dropping like a daily dew on you. You're hungry for God. You're thirsty for God. You want to know the truth and you want to experience His closeness. And this will be yours as you stand in this place of grace. So it's a place of blessing, this grace, but it's also a place of security. This idea of standing in grace gives me the idea of security. It's a gift, remember. And because it's a gift, you're secure in it. God has promised it. God has promised to continue. He's promising that you're standing in grace. Not like it's a quick visit and out again, but you're there. And so here, we're not talking about a walk of faith, which is a biblical idea, or running the race of the Christian life, which is also a biblical idea. We're talking about standing and receiving from God. Standing in grace. So if you're a Christian, if you've entered by faith, if you're believing and taking Jesus at his word and believing him as the Son of God, the one who takes your sins away, if you're trusting only in him, it's just worth pointing that out. It has to be only in him. You can't trust in him and your good works. You have to trust in just him to save you. Then you're standing in this place of grace, and you will continue to stand in that place of grace forever, both for the rest of your life on earth and for eternity in heaven. It really is a long shower. Have you ever been in one of those showers? Perhaps you've had one in your house at some point or another, that it just goes completely hot and cold all the time. That just dreadful feeling, you know, when you just got the shampoo on your hair and the shower goes absolutely stone cold, and you have to stand back for a while you wait for it to decide what it's going to do. Just a few months back, we changed our shower, and I discovered in the end that the new shower that we got had the intakes labelled the wrong way around. So the cold one was red and the hot one was blue. I didn't know that to start with, so I wired it up, I put it in the way it said, and the shower was either scalding hot, literally scalding hot, or absolutely freezing cold. It's a horrible place to be. But God says he's kind to us always. He doesn't blow hot and cold. This shower of God's blessing is constant. And so we can say that we're secure in this blessing of grace. The Lord's not going to be kind and gracious to you today and then tomorrow be in a different mood. He's faithful. He never changes. His attributes never change towards us. Just let me say, though, that I'm not saying that you won't have trials and troubles. That while you're enjoying this position of grace, standing in the grace of God, there will be troubles and trials. And if you're in any doubts about what he's saying here, you only need to look at verse 3, which we'll look at next week, and you'll discover that there's going to be suffering. So he's not saying that, but he is saying that through all of this, you continue to stand in the grace of God. There will be times where you say to God, why? There will be times when you're struggling. But the Lord says in his sovereign purposes, all of these things, even the hard things, are being worked out for your good and for his glory. And so whether you understand it or not, the struggles that we go through are indeed some way working out God's purposes and a blessing, therefore. So, faith gives us access to standing in grace, and that's a place of blessing and a place of security. Standing in grace is about now. It's about today. It's about your rejoicing in God today for what you receive from him. But the next part of verse 2 lifts our heads a bit, and it starts us to think about the great hope of the future. The second part, the hope of the glory of God, verse 2b. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, there are some verses in the Bible and some ideas in the Bible which are really easy to say and flow from all of our tongues probably, but are actually almost impossible to grasp fully. And here's one of them. Glory. We use the word a lot, we sing the word a lot. I wonder what you would actually say it meant, glory. And if we tried to do that, I'm sure we'd get some ideas, but we would never feel, I don't think, that we've fully grasped this concept of glory. And even bigger, to think of the glory of God. Now, because we might think of some things are glorious in this world, but to think then of the glory of God. I guess it includes something of God's almighty power. Perhaps something of his majestic beauty. Something of his shining purity. Something of his praiseworthiness, if that's a word. I'm sure it's all of those and probably an awful lot more. And I guess this verse is reminding us that there is something very, very exciting for Christians. There is a future planned which is beyond words that we can express and is glorious. It's the day when we see God in all his glory. What a blessing it is that our hope is not just in this life, even with all these blessings, but it continues to the future. In fact, Paul, writing about the resurrection, doesn't he? He says, you know, if Christ wasn't resurrected, then we're to be pitied more than all men. If what we're doing is just for this life, then what a miserable lot we are. We're wasting our time and energies. No, there's a glorious future. A hope of the glory of God. At the moment, the Bible says, we can only see dimly. It's quite funny actually standing here. I'm actually in the blazing light. And sort of, because of the light, it looks a bit dingy out there. But we can only see dimly and darkly. It's like looking through a glass that we can't quite see through it. It's either mucky or it's smoked up and we can't see. We see the rough idea, but we know one day we will be able to see clearly. It says one day we shall see face to face. That's the contrast. One day it looks all dingy and dark, but one day we'll see God face to face. We'll see him as he is. And that's the hope that we're speaking of here in Romans 5, verse 2. This is the way that the New Living Translation puts it. The verse 2, it says this: because of our faith, Christ has now brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, it's grace, where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Do you notice that? Sharing God's glory. So this isn't just about God being glorious. It's also the hope that we have that we're going to share something of that glory, which is what the scriptures say. I struggle to think of like any kind of analogy that would help us to think about this. I guess I was struck by thinking as a child of what it would be like. I don't know whether you kids would like this or not. I don't know. But the idea of, you know, approaching Disneyland and just, you know, as you're probably coming to the main entrance and you can see all the roller coasters in the distance and all the music blaring and all the people enjoying themselves. And just like, it's almost like the whole thing's radiating joy. I know some of you probably wouldn't like the experience, but I think I would. That sense of anticipation as we go to actually experience it ourselves. This is what we're thinking of, a glory of heaven that at the moment we can just see in the distance. Something that we can't quite put our hands on, but it looks wonderful. What we know of it is marvellous. We have no reason to doubt what we've been told. And so it's a glorious hope that keeps us going. You know, Disneyland is just man's attempt, isn't it, at pleasure and enjoyment. Imagine, though, the excitement of entering a new heaven and a new earth. And the wonder of that place is that God dwells with man again. God with us. Face to face. We'll see him. We'll see him as he really is. In some mysterious way, the scriptures say we will be like him, Jesus. And on that day, we'll share in his glory. We will be glorified ourselves. All of the sin, all of the imperfections, all of the corruption, all of the decay, it will all be gone. I guess all those wrinkles will have gone, all those bad knees will have gone, the bad backs will have gone, those horrible sins of our heart will have gone, the struggles that we've had will be behind us, and we'll be with our Lord and Saviour, and we will be like him. We will be fully, completely transformed. That process starts here on earth, being sanctified. But one day we're going to be glorified with him in heaven. There'll be overflowing joy. There'll be satisfaction like we've never felt in the past. You know what it's like, those things that you think are going to satisfy, and you enjoy them for a while, but it's not the satisfaction that you really, really hope for. On that day, there won't be any of those feelings. You will be fully and completely satisfied and full and overflowing with joy. The lovely verse in Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What a glorious truth. In God's presence there is fullness of joy. In his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So this, friends, is where our hope is set. We're standing in grace, enjoying this hot shower of God's blessings that we receive every day. But also, on top of that, we have a joy that we're looking ahead to. A day when we will see and experience the glory of God. Something I really don't think I can put into words. The glory of God. All the other longings of this world will just feel like a small little shadow compared to seeing the true glory of God. The great longing of our hearts being satisfied in Christ. Are you tracking through Romans as we close? You remember when we opened the book and we started talking about the gospel? And then we had those chapters talking about our sin and God's anger against them. They're just as true. We don't deserve it. What we deserve is the wrath of God. Paul has now turned the corner and he's saying, okay, if you will believe, it will be credited to you as righteousness, and just imagine the blessings that you're going to have. Let me read that verse again. Starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Let's pray.